Let's go ahead and open our Bibles tonight to the book of James. We're going to move around a little bit this evening, but I'd like to start in James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verse number 3. James chapter 4, verse number 3. It says, "Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust." Ye ask amiss. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. I pray that you would teach us through your word this evening. I pray that you would use these things to make us stronger in the things of the Lord. Help us to be wiser and better able to know how to pray and things. I pray that you'll meet together with us tonight in a very special way. In Jesus' name, amen. God is a giver. We all know that, don't we? He gives us the food that we eat and the air that we breathe. That's all from the Lord. How many of you ever had something good happen to you before? Anybody ever received something good? Well, guess what? That's from God, too. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, from above. We all know about some of God's gifts. John 3:16. Who can quote that verse by heart? Justice? Amen. Good job. God gave a gift in that verse. He gave His only begotten Son. Now, we know that God is a giver, but when we accept Christ as our Savior, we literally become His children. We become part of the family of God. The relationship that we have to God after we get saved is He is our Heavenly Father. Is God a good Father?
Yes.
Oh, He's the best. You can't beat God as your Father. He's the perfect Father. Every other father in this whole world has fallen far short of God. God is the perfect Father, and if you're looking for a pattern to follow, look to God. He's the perfect Father. You can't improve upon His parenting. As a father, does God love His children? Yes, He does. What else does God do? He teaches His children, does He not? Every good father would teach their children. The Bible says that a son left to himself, what does he do? He brings his mother to shame, but also shames his father as well. As a father, God corrects, does He not? Corrects when you're wrong? My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord. God chastens His children. And Revelation 3:19 says, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten." Not only that, but God provides for His children. Every parent provides for their children, provides for their care and meeting their needs. Does God like to hear from His children? Yes, He does. It doesn't offend Him when His children ask Him for their needs. In fact, when Jesus gave an example of how we should pray, he told us to ask our Heavenly Father for things. He said, "Give us this day our what? Our daily bread." In fact, God delights to hear His children ask for things. And He delights in giving things to His children. God does not enjoy withholding things from His children. Yet sometimes He has to. Sometimes God's children ask Him for things and He doesn't give it. Sometimes God's children ask Him for things and He doesn't give them. I want to look at some examples tonight of asking amiss. Back to the verse in James that we already read. James 4:3 says, "Ye ask and receive not." You ask and receive not. In other words, sometimes God's children ask their father for things and they don't receive it. And it says there, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss. There are times when God's children ask Him for things, and they don't get it. And so I think it's important that we understand those times that we ask and don't receive, so that we'll be a little better informed about the conditions of asking and receiving. Who wants to receive when you ask for things from God? I do. And I want to give you some truth from the Word of God tonight about asking and receiving. The first thing that I can tell you tonight is we ask and receive not, number one, when we're not walking uprightly. When we're not walking uprightly, let's go to the middle of our Bible, Psalms chapter 84. Psalms chapter 84, it's right in the middle of your Bible or very, very close to it. Psalms chapter 84, verse number 11. It says, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly." From them that walk uprightly. God will not withhold something from His children that's good if they're walking uprightly. You say, "Brother Russell, what does it mean if you're not walking uprightly?" Well, we need to understand that there's a direct connection between what we do and what blessings God is able to give to us. We need to understand that there's a direct connection between the choices that we make and the behaviors that we have and what blessings God is able to give to us. I wonder what good things sometimes we miss out on because of the choices that we make. Think about that. Sometimes we mess up some blessings. God wants to give us some things, but we make the wrong choice and He cannot give us those things. If you want God's richest and fullest blessings, that means you need to walk in a way that is pleasing to the Lord. That involves two types of things. If you're going to walk uprightly, it means there's some things you need to do, and it means there's some things you ought not to do. Walking uprightly involves doing the Lord's will, does it not? There's things He asks us to do, and if we say, "Nah, I'm not going to do that," do you think He's able to bless us the way with His richest blessings? Absolutely not. If we want God's richest blessings, we need to be dear obedient children, doing His will. It could be that sometimes people miss out on God's blessings because they don't get involved in the Lord's work. They don't get involved in the work of the church. Sometimes people are missing blessings because they won't serve the Lord at their local church. You know, the church doesn't clean itself. I've never caught this church building cleaning itself. So who cleans it? Who's not cleaning it? Well, some people are not cleaning it. And the church needs work. How do churches grow and get built? The people inside go out and preach the gospel. So what if everyone's not doing that? Well, some are missing out on blessings because they're disobedient. God's plan is that everyone in the church participates in spreading the word of God and giving out the gospel. You say, "Brother Russell, I'm kind of shy." Well, just drop a tract somewhere and do something. I mean, you go to the gas station, don't you? Hand them a tract. You don't even have to open your mouth. You go to the grocery store, just hand them a tract. Do something. Get involved. Some people miss out on blessings because they don't give out the Word of God. Some people miss out on blessings because they don't support the church. Do churches get free electric bills?
No.
No. Do they get free gas bills? No. Do they get free water bills? No. Do they get free diesel fuel for the bus? No. So how do they get these things? God's people participating freely. We call it a free will offering. We never require anybody to do anything, but it's a free will offering. And yet some people never tithe, never give to missions, never give out the gospel in any form, never get involved in any of the outreaches of the church. And they wonder, why am I not as blessed as I should be? It's because you're not walking uprightly. I want to show you an example of some people in the Bible that were missing out, and I want to show you that there's a direct connection in doing the will of God and receiving blessings. Let's turn to the book of Haggai, chapter 1. It's right near the end of the Old Testament. Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. Haggai chapter 1, verse 2. I want to show you that sometimes we're missing out on the blessings and goodness of God because we're not walking uprightly, because we're leaving off doing the things that God wants us to do. Haggai chapter 1, verse number 2. It says, "Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, The time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. Ye have sown much, and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. Go up to the mountain, and bring wood, and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts, because of mine house that is waste. And ye run every man unto his own house." Now what was going on in the book of Haggai? Well, God's house lay in ruins. The temple in Jerusalem had been destroyed by the Babylonians. It was literally shambles, just a pile of rubble. And God told his people to go back there and build his house. But do you know what they were doing instead? They were building their own houses. It says that they were living in sealed houses. In other words, they had nice warm houses with nice roofs, nice walls, pretty decorations, and they were taking good care of themselves. But God's house was laying in ruins. And God said, "You're missing out on some blessings. There's some things that I would like to give you, but I'm not able to because you're serving yourself and you're running around building your own houses while the houses of God is laying waste." Well, I'm here to tell you tonight that this house could use some repairs. This is God's place, and yet some of you don't clean it. Some of you are talented with carpentry and things, and there's some really bad rooms downstairs that need some repair, and you're not doing it. You're building your own houses. Shame on you for that. This is God's house, and it ought to represent our God. It ought to be in pristine order. It ought to be in tip-top shape, and yet we let it run down without building it. We're missing out on some blessings sometimes because God's house is laying waste. We're not walking uprightly. We're not taking care of God's things. What did Jesus say in Matthew 6:33? He said, "If you seek first what? God's kingdom and God's righteousness, all of what would be added unto you? all of these things that you need, the food, the clothes, the shelter. In other words, put God first, take care of God, and He will take care of you. So we ask, and yet we don't get all the blessings we could get because we're not walking uprightly, we're not doing the will of God, and sometimes we're doing things that displease the Lord. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 58. We find an illustration of God's people not pleasing God, and therefore their prayers are not answered the way that they would hope for them to be answered. This is a very interesting passage of Scripture in Isaiah, and that's probably my favorite book in the Bible. But in Isaiah chapter 58, God sent the prophet Isaiah to preach a word from God to His people, the nation of Israel. And it was a hard sermon that he was aimed directly at God's people. It says in Isaiah 58, verse 1, "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily, and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness, and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure, and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high." These were God's people. They were fasting, they were praying, and they were saying, "God, why aren't you listening to us? Why aren't you answering our prayers?" And God fired up his servant Isaiah, and God says, "Isaiah, I want you to cry aloud. Use a loud voice, don't spare, and tell my people about their sins." God says, "I see you praying, I see you fasting, and yet I see you doing it for the wrong reason. You're fasting for strife and debate," in verse 4. You're arguing, you're just fasting to try to put one up on somebody else. You're fasting and praying against other people to smite with the fist of wickedness, and that's not the kind of carrying on that I want my people to do. God accused them of being selfish, and when we're selfish, we're not walking uprightly. What about when we're proud, when we're lifted up with pride? Is that uprightly? Is God going to hear us when we're loaded with pride? No, it says God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. What about when we're walking in uncleanness? Is God going to bless us with His best blessings? No. What about when we're walking in foolishness? Is that upright? No. That's not the way to get God's favor. So sometimes we ask and we receive not because we're not walking uprightly. We're not doing what God wants us to, and we're doing what He doesn't want us to do. And when we're not walking uprightly, the Bible says that He can't give us those blessings that we could otherwise have. Now there's another time that we ask, and yet we don't receive what we want and desire because God won't give it to us. And I want to show you that. It's when we're allowing sin to prosper in our lives. If you're allowing sin to grow and flourish in your lives, your prayers are not going to be answered the way that you hope. Turn with me to Psalms chapter 66, verse 18. David learned this lesson the hard way. You know, there's two ways to learn a lesson. Learn a lesson the easy way. How's the easy way to learn a lesson? Just listen. It don't hurt a bit, does it? Just to open your ears and listen to some good advice. That's the easy way. What's the hard way to learn a lesson? You mess up, and then you have to face the consequences, and that's the hard way. Well, here's David, and he sinned. We know that he committed adultery and murder, and he tried to cover up his sin, and he just made a big old mess. And while David was in this mess of sin, while his heart was not right with God, God would not hear his prayers. Psalm 66, verse 18 says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." The Lord will not hear me. You can pray all you want, but if you're living in sin, God's not going to listen to you. He's not going to listen to you until you straighten up and repent of that sin. And at that point in his life, before David repented of that sin and got right with God, and by the way, there is a path to get right with God. I don't care how defiled you've become. I don't care how far down the road of sin you've become. There's a way to get right with God. But if you think that God's going to hear you while you're flourishing in sin and enjoying the pleasure of sin, you're wrong. The Bible says that if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If you want your prayers to get answered, you've got to get right with God. You've got to get right with God. There's no substitute for getting right with God. And then, thirdly, another time that we pray and our prayers don't get answered is in James chapter 1, verse number 6. Let's go back to James. When we don't ask in faith, when we don't ask in faith, God isn't going to hear our prayers. When we pray, we need to pray knowing and believing that God hears us and cares about us, and that He has our best interest in heart. But when we ask without faith, then we will not see our prayers answered. What would it look like to pray without asking in prayer? Lord, will you please do this for me? Oh, I don't think you will, but if you, that's asking without faith. When we pray, we need to ask in faith. James chapter 1, verse 6 says, "But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering." Let's say that together. "Nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed." Look at verse 7. "For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord." When your prayers are going up like waves, "I believe God." No, I don't believe God. "I believe God." A wave goes up and it goes down. Then it goes up and it goes down. "Oh, I believe God." No, I don't think God's going to hear me. "Oh, I believe God." We go up and down and we're wavering. Now, the Bible says in verse 7, "Let that not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord." When we ask God for things, we need to ask in faith. Let's say that. Ask in faith. So, fourthly, another time that God's people pray, but they don't receive the answer that they're looking for, is when they ask for something that's contrary to God's will. Let's go to 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 14. When we ask God for things that are contrary to His will, it says in 1 John 5, 14, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us." Let's say that. According to His will. According to His will. Now, what is God's will for His people in this world? He wants them all to serve Him. He wants them all to tell others about Him. And He wants them all to live holy and pure. Now, let me give you some examples to help you get this. Let's say that I wanted my son, Luke, to be an Olympic gold medalist. That's my will. I want Luke to be an athlete. I want him to win an Olympic gold medal. So I take him to all this training, and I spend all my waking moments trying to prepare Luke to become an athlete and to be an Olympic gold medalist. But what if God wants Luke to be a missionary? My will says I want Luke to be an Olympic gold medalist, and I pray, God, please give him the talent, give him the strength, help him to win the gold. That God has another will. God wants Luke to be a missionary. And I'm asking God to help him be an Olympic gold medalist. God, he may not hear my prayer. He may not answer it because my will is not aligned with his will. And what we need to do is get our wills lined up with God's will. We need to get in tune with God. If we're not careful, we can have our own agenda, and it's not aligned with God's agenda. And that comes when we're not walking as close to God as we should, when we're not in tune with God, when we value the things of this world more than the things of God. And if we're asking for things contrary to God's will, he's not going to hear us. Another time that we ask and we don't receive, or another time that we don't get what we want is when we don't ask. Let's say that. When we don't ask. Now, James chapter 4, verse number 2. James chapter 4, verse number 2. It says, ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Ye have not because ye ask not. You know, there's some things that we could have, but we never get because we ask everybody else. We try all these other means, but we don't ask God for them. God cares about us. He wants to meet our needs. He won't hold back anything that's good for us if we're walking uprightly. And yet, sometimes we don't get the things that we want or need because we don't ask God for them. And it says in James 4:2 there again, ye have not because ye ask not. So God wants us to ask. He wants us to pray. He wants us to come to him regularly and ask him for things. Now let's go to James 4:3, another time that we don't get the things that we desire from our Heavenly Father. We already read this verse. But it says, ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Asking amiss. Let me give you some examples of asking amiss. Lord, please give me a big house because brother so-and-so has a big house and I want my house to be bigger than his house. That's asking amiss, isn't it? Does that glorify God when we ask for something like that? Does it help further his kingdom? No. And that's asking amiss. It's out of line for us to ask for that. And it says in James 4:3, ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss. Lord, please give me a sports car because other people have sports cars and I want one too. That's asking amiss. Lord, please give me those fancy tennis shoes so I can be like all the other kids. What is that going to gratify? Our pride, our flesh. It doesn't glorify God. Lord, please give me great riches so that I can be the talk of the town. That's asking amiss, isn't it? Lord, please give me a beautiful singing voice so I can be a rock star. Asking amiss. What about this? Lord, would you please give me a car so I can serve you better? That's a good prayer, isn't it? Lord, would you please strengthen my vocal cords, help me to sing so I can sing your praises? That's a good one. You see the difference in asking for sports cars to gratify your flesh? Lord, would you help give me the fastest car in the neighborhood so that I can outrun the police? asking amiss, isn't it? But Lord, would you please give me a car so I can serve you? Lord, would you please help me to do this so I can serve you? If you're single and not married, Lord, please give me a spouse so that I can serve you with. Those are all good prayers. And that's asking for good things that will glorify God and further His gospel. But when we ask amiss, then just so that we can consume it upon our lust, you don't receive the things you ask for. It says you ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your list, but your lust. And then one other thing that I find time when we pray and ask for things, but we don't get them, it's when we pray and give up praying. Oh, I tried praying once. That stuff don't work. I used to pray, but I quit. I used to pray for my lost loved one, but I don't do it anymore. It didn't work. And so they ask a little while, and then they give up and quit. Turn with me to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, verse number 5. Jesus gave an illustration here about the importance of importunity. I want to teach you a word here. Importunity. Let's say that together. Importunity. That means you keep praying, you don't give up, you pray over and over to where you're literally bugging God. You're literally bugging God, and God wants us to bug Him. He wants us to keep praying over and over for things, and that's the kind of prayer that gets answered. When you say, oh, I tried praying once and that didn't work, that's not importunity. Importunity is showing God that it's important to you. Lord, this is important. I keep asking and praying for it because it really means something to me. And when you pray like that, you're going to get your prayers answered. Luke chapter 11, verse number 5, Jesus gave a parable about importunity so that we understand that we don't just pray a little bit and give up. We keep praying and praying and praying. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you. For every one that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Now, this parable goes something like this. I'm at home in my bed. The kids are all asleep. And let's say Brother Matthew comes knocking at my door. I don't get out of bed. I just yell through the window, who is it? What do you need? Brother Matthew says, I need a couple loaves of bread. I say, not tonight. Come back, see me tomorrow. And I go back to sleep. Now, the person without importunity, they say, okay, I'll go back home and come back later. But importunity is when you don't take no for an answer. I start to go back to sleep again, and I hear, hey, Brother Tim, I really need some bread. Could you lend me some bread? I got some friends from out of town here. And I say, no, I need to get some more sleep. And I go back to sleep, and then Matthew's still there at my door. Hey, Brother Tim, I need some bread, man. Come on, give me some bread. Go back to sleep. But, you know, this goes on for an hour and a half, and eventually I say, man, I just can't sleep with all this door knocking. I might as well go get the bread, then I'll be able to get some sleep. So I go down open my cupboard and get the bread out and say, here you go, please don't knock anymore. And the Lord gave us that parable to show that that's the way he wants us to pray. With importunity. Don't give up. Don't stop knocking. Don't stop praying and asking God. You keep knocking at that door. Show God that it's real important to you, and you'll get your prayer answered. That's the kind of prayer that gets answered and works. Now, as we come to our conclusion tonight, I want to give you one type of prayer request that God especially loves to answer. There's one type of prayer that he's more inclined to answer than any other prayer. Let's turn to Luke chapter 11, verse 11. Luke chapter 11, verse 11. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he give him, offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Now, I'll read that last phrase again. How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? What is God especially inclined to give to those who ask him? The Holy Spirit. Now let me put that in plain English. My kids love their daddy time. When we, on the ride home from church on Wednesday nights, they're always asking me, Dad, can I ride in your blue car with you? They want to be with Dad. They're always asking me to do special things with them. And I love to spend time with them. I like it when they ask for those things. God is the same way. God is our Heavenly Father, and his favorite request, the thing that we can count on him answering the most, is when we ask him, can we get close to him? Lord, can you fill me with your Holy Spirit? I just want to be in your presence. Can you load me up with your Holy Spirit? I want more of you, God. And when we ask him, our Heavenly Father, for more daddy time, he loves to answer that kind of a prayer. He's the most inclined to answer that kind of a prayer. I'll read that verse again, and then we'll close. Verse 13. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? He wants to load us up. He wants us to draw nigh unto him. He wants us to be close to him. Now I'll ask you a question. How close are you to God tonight? How close are you? What's keeping you from getting any closer? It's not God. You can get as close to God as you want to be. He will not limit how close you want to be. There is a man in the Old Testament named Enoch, and this man made a decision one day that he was going to start walking with God. And he did. From that point on, from the time he had his first son, something caused him to start walking close to God. And he did the rest of his days on this earth. Him and God were walking close together. And every day that went by, they just kept getting closer and closer and closer and closer. You know what happened? One day, God says, Enoch, I really enjoy your presence. Why don't you just come on up with me and we'll spend eternity together. And the Bible says that Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. God translated him directly into heaven because he started walking with God. And I'm here to tell you tonight that you can walk with God as well. You can get as close to him as you want to be. You can be as close to God as the best Christian who's ever lived. You can get that close. And God would love for you to ask him for his Holy Spirit. Ask him to fill you up, load you up, and let you be very close to him, and he would love